For January 28th, 2008, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Lullabot Podcast.
Has it been since we did a podcast?
Too long.
Yes. And what episode is this? This is, I think we were up to like...
53. Yeah.
Episode 53 fine. Of the Lullabot Drupal podcast. We get together... Well, we try to get together every week, but we succeed about half the time. So, you know, it's about every other week or so. And talk about Drupal. And building websites with Drupal and things that have to do with building websites and Drupal. You wouldn't think that we can get together and talk about it all the time, but we find a way. And here we are. I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with...
Matt Westgate.
And...
Nathan Hauck.
And also...
Jeff Eaton.
As well as...
James Walker.
And last, but certainly not least...
John Resig.
Holy crap, it's John Resig.
Woo!
Yeah,
there he
is. We decided to do a JavaScript / jQuery / Drupal podcast this week, and we asked John to come and act as the... JavaScript expert that he is. John, for people who don't know, is the author of jQuery. He's the J in jQuery. And he's also written a really wonderful book. What's your book called, John?
Pro JavaScript Techniques.
Pro JavaScript Techniques by the same people that published Matt Westgate's book. The publisher's name.
A-Press,
yes, of course. And we also have Matt Westgate, who a long time hasn't been on the podcast. He's been doing other stuff with Lullabot, and we got Matt on. Hi, Matt.
I came out of hibernation.
Yes, yes. He's wiping all the sleep out of his eyes. And
January is a fine time to come out of hibernation.
Yes, yes, exactly. Just come right out. You can get a little skiing in before the summer, so that's nice. we'll mention, as we do at the beginning of the podcasts on a regular basis, we have Lullabot workshops coming up. Los Angeles is the next one. James, you want to?
Yeah, absolutely. So very timely for this podcast. We've got a week of Drupal theming workshops coming up in Los Angeles. The dates are February the 4th to the 8th. We have actually two workshops that will run over the course of the week. We have an intro to theming for the first 2 days. It'll be Monday and Tuesday, the 4th and 5th of February. And then advanced theming, which is the 6th to the 8th, both in Los Angeles. And there are spots available, and there will be plenty of jQuery and JavaScript discussion over the course of those 5 days. So still spots available, so grab them while they're... Grab them while they're hot.
Sweet. And if you're listening to this podcast down the road, you can always come to lullabot.com/training, and it'll show the upcoming workshops that we have, and or get on our mailing list, and you can find out about upcoming workshops, such as, it sounds like, word on the street, the rumors that I hear are...
You heard it here first, unless you didn't. Exciting news. We're taking Lullabot training outside of the continental U.S. for the first time ever. And we're going big. We're going all the way across hemispheres in both directions down to Melbourne, Australia. We'll be doing a week of workshops down under, as they say. And I will spare you my fake Australian accent. But yeah, so it'll be in April. Details and registration will be opening very soon, if not by the time you're listening to this. So if you're in Australia and are interested in coming to learn how to do Drupal development or theming, we'll be running courses on both in Melbourne in April 2008. So very, very exciting stuff.
Sweet. So what's new in the world of Drupal? We've got DrupalCon Boston coming up in March. Does anyone have any more details specifically on that? What are the dates again?
It's March 3rd to March 6th.
In Boston?
Is what I know.
And people in can Boston. Go to DrupalCon.org. DrupalCon short for Drupal Conference. Not to be confused with DrupalCon, which is the Drupal icon, which is that scary little alien. And I don't know, are there other things that sound like that? But anyways, the Drupal conference happening in Boston. We'll be there. Always a good time. We'll, as I usually do, I will submit a session to do a podcast there. So if you're going to the conference, come see the podcast and participate in the podcast. It's always fun. We try and schedule it as one of the last things of the conference so that we can sort of do a wrap up. And if you're unable to come to the conference, you know, you'll have the podcast to listen to. So you won't feel so left out by not going to the DrupalCon conference. Anybody have anything to add above and beyond that?
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually submitted a whole bunch of sessions. I don't know. Again, you submit sessions, and then there's a committee of people that sort of decide, and you know, it's based on the number of sessions that have been submitted. I think session submissions still open, so if anyone out there listening is planning on going and wants to present anything, again, DrupalCon.org is the place to do that. And I've submitted a session on talking about all about the Zen theme and just sort of that concept of sort of CSS based theming in Drupal and sort of what exactly it means and where it's going and whether it's working and stuff like that. So what about y'all? John, are you going? Doing? You're in Boston, John.
I kind of like to go, yeah.
You ought to go.
I may be there.
We can hook you up.
All right.
One could actually argue that John has had an impact on Drupal.
One could, yes.
Maybe a little one.
Yeah. What with, you know, jQuery being part of Drupal now, yeah. What are the other news items that we have? Or anybody else sessions you're excited about for DrupalCon?
I'm going to be really excited about the sessions that I propose sometime soon.
Procrastination.
Called out on that one.
there's also sort of a high concept session that James and I have been kicking around that looks like we're going to be presenting about basically best development practices just for programming in the Drupal ecosystem. Not necessarily use this function or don't use that function, but things like designing effective APIs, how to make modules that can work effectively together with other modules, and just sort of at a higher level than we're usually used to thinking about in the Drupal community, how to make sure that all the things that we're building together work well and are easy to keep going moving forward as the community continues to grow and expand. So
what are they talking about this year? It's usually like 1 hour session kinds of things, right? So each of these subjects, if you go to boston2008.drupalcon.org/sessions, you can see all the sessions that people have submitted. These aren't necessarily happening, but there's some cool stuff.
One thing, if anybody has been at previous DrupalCons, especially DrupalCon Barcelona, where there were a lot of sessions, but they were also very, very tightly booked. So you essentially had to decide what sessions you were going to skip if you wanted to take more than 3 minutes to scramble from room to room between them. DrupalCon Boston is actually being set up. So there's a definitely slack time between them. Not a huge amount, but enough that you could very easily, you know, stop, hang around outside, have conversations with some people about what you've, you know, what's been happening. And there's also a mix of longer sessions and shorter sessions so that some of the stuff that needs more time to work with can be put in some of the longer blocks. And some of the more focused stuff doesn't necessarily have to fluff up to fill out, you know, a full hour-long session. So it should be interesting as the rest of the schedule fills out. And there are also going to be some specific planned stuff that we've been contacting specific developers and people inside of the community that we want to make sure that there are sort of, like, you know, headlining sessions on really important development topics or APIs or tools or things like that that we know everybody is going to want to hear about.
So here's a news item that's not on our list here. Jeff Eaton, you're talking about this in first person plural. You're saying we, because now you are on the Drupal Association board. Is that correct?
The Drupal Association board. Yes, that's correct.
You want to talk about that?
That's actually, yeah, I'll talk for just a moment. Yeah. It's actually interesting because probably about 6 months ago, I wouldn't have necessarily been able to tell you exactly what the Drupal Association was doing, and why it existed. And I've been working in the Drupal community for a long time, and I've known the association was there, but it was kind of something fuzzy. So I ended up, you know, having a lot of long conversations with other folks, like, you know, James and, you know, Earl Miles and Angie and Robert Douglas, who are actually part of the Drupal Association, and just sort of trying to hash out, okay, what's going on here? What is the association doing? And as I got more involved with that, I decided that, you know, I really would actually like to, you know, be a part of this and help. Very briefly, the Drupal Association is essentially a nonprofit organization, or it's an association, in fact, that exists to support the Drupal project development community by taking care of those things that a distributed, big, diffuse community of volunteer developers isn't necessarily well equipped to take care of. Things like maintaining the actual physical server that Drupal.org runs on, or making sure that a DrupalCon conference happens every year, or being a central point so that companies who want to donate to help support the Drupal server infrastructure can actually write the check out to the Drupal Association rather than, I guess I'll write a check to Dries, or, well, you know, Moshe is the guy who's, you know, driving over to the server, and, you know, tomorrow morning, so I'll write a check to him. The idea that there's actually a real entity, a legal organization that can work on this stuff to help take the burden of that off of just the diffuse developer community and support it like that with infrastructure stuff. That's essentially what the association's role is. It's not to go out and launch new development projects or to steer the Drupal development project itself. It's a support and facilitation role. So I decided that, you know, I'd like to give that a stab. And one of the important milestones is this is the first open election for the Drupal Association, where anybody in the Drupal community who's passionate about getting involved with that and helping guide and shape, you know, what the association is involved in and what they're doing, was able to sort of, you know, put their, you know, name on the list and say, this is what I'd like to be doing. And there was an election, and I think there were almost 60 applicants, and I think there were 11 new members of the association, permanent members that were elected to that. Then there was a slightly smaller group that were elected to the Drupal Association board for, like, specific roles, like, you know, communications and marketing and conference organization and stuff like that. But from this point on, every year there's going to be an election like that with an opportunity for people in the community who want to be involved and who want to actually work on this stuff and dive in and help with the association to go through that same process. It's really exciting. So I'm excited about what we're going to be doing, you know, over the next several months, and especially with DrupalCon around the corner. It's cool stuff. James, did I miss anything important there? Did I screw anything up?
No, sounds all good. Yeah, since he can't properly congratulate himself, Yeah, I mean, congratulations to all of the 11 new members, because there was a pretty tight pool of 60 people, and there's a lot of really good applications. Congratulations to the guys who got in, and the guys and gals. Addison Berry of Lullabot also made it in. So yeah, it's very exciting for us. But yeah, to the 49, is my math right? People who didn't make it, absolutely consider applying again next year, because there's a real clump of tight votes. So. It was exciting. I don't think any of us were quite sure what the interest level would be in coming to kind of join and help out. So it's fun to watch.
Cool. So Jeff, your title is exactly what now?
My actual title isn't official yet. There's going to be another board meeting in which people are officially assigned to roles. The process is actually people are elected as permanent members, which is just sort of the large pool of people that are part of the voting body of the association. Then there's board members that are elected out of that pool, who are like people who actually have projects that they would like to implement, like, launching a theming contest or, organizing a conference or something like that. And then at the next meeting, there's going to be some voting on like official roles that people are going with titles and the mute button.
good times. Cool.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Wait a second. Yeah, so.
cool. So let's see. Other news we have. Drupal 6 is close on the horizon.
So close, you can smell it.
Very, very close on the horizon. Very few critical bugs.
Keep buying those critical bugs.
Yep, exactly. If you've got a bug that you haven't fessed up about yet, fess up about it now, because otherwise there's going to be a whole version of Drupal out there with your bug in it. So that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I'm guessing one of the next few podcasts we'll be able to announce Drupal 6 is out. And talk about maybe whether people should be using that right away or not. And
one exciting piece of news too is that Views, hardcore development work on Views 2 for Drupal 6 is back up and running now that Earl Miles has beta 2 of the panels module released. He's back working almost exclusively on Views right now, so that has accelerated rapidly. There was a lot of nervousness about whether or not, how long it was going to take for Views to be ready for 6, but work on that has picked up, and the magical and amazing Earl Miles is back on that task, and it's looking good.
He is magical.
He is.
He's Merlin of Chaos.
Mister of Chaos.
Mister, Señor of Chaos, they call him in the Spanish-speaking countries. Okay, well, let's get to the topic of today's podcast. JavaScript in Drupal. Let's start with some really, basic stuff. We've got jQuery as part of Drupal core now. So basically, whenever you kind of do anything to sort of invoke or add JavaScript to your page, it also adds jQuery, the jQuery library to the page, which I should just mention is very low overhead. I think the entire library is what now, John?
Well,
15K. Less, smaller than most images.
I've got icons bigger than that.
Exactly. Yes. And so, it gets added in there, and then you can use it. Now, but why would anyone want to use a JavaScript library like jQuery as opposed to just sort of writing it themselves? John, you want to tackle that one?
Well, the most obvious reason is that JavaScript development is fraught with lots and lots of cross-browser issues. Whenever you're doing browser-based JavaScript development, you're constantly having to just hit these weird, arcane bugs, and you really don't want to be dealing with that. And additionally, there's just a lot of things that you want to do again and again, and that should be made easier for you. So what a JavaScript library does is it does two things. It separates you from the crazy browser bugs that exist, and it makes what you need to do again and again much easier. So just building upon that, you can now develop your applications easier and faster and just not have to worry about as much as you normally would.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we should say jQuery, compared to writing JavaScript kind of on your own, is it makes it fun. It's sort of a dream. It's very empowering. I would say the hardest thing about doing JavaScript is trying to target the things on the page that you want to address. So if you wanted to, change the value of a form element on your page, you wanted to, you know, put someone's name right in the field. If they, you know, clicked a button, it would put their name in the field. Or a really common one would be where you have the billing address and the shipping address, and you could say, you know, click the button that shipping address is the same as the billing address. Lots of times though, trying to find that form on the page and the elements and stuff like that you feel like you're shooting in the dark and stuff. And jQuery just makes that stuff so easy. I mean, certainly as easy as targeting things with CSS. But it gets even easier, as you start to use some of the extended methods, stuff like that. So there's my ad for jQuery.
Yeah, it's not even easy. It's fun.
Buy it. It's great. Yeah. it's free. It's free.
Money back guarantee.
I'll just buy John Resig a drink at DrupalCon.
The thing that really strikes me about jQuery is, and I mean, I swore off JavaScript for a long time after sort of trying to do some tinkering in the nasty, hairy days of, like, you know, 2000, 2001 or so. And, you know, it was just shocking how simple things like, you know, hiding a field based on what was in another field, you know, as people enter text, or, you know, just little things like that. There was just so much heavy lifting code that you needed to do. I mean, needed to write in order to do simple stuff like that and make it actually work in all browsers and be reasonably fast and, you know, and not break when some other snippet of JavaScript got put on the page as well. And it just felt like even the really simple stuff just felt so daunting and so massive. And what strikes me as really cool is that jQuery has managed to make that stuff really, really easy. Like, that whole kind of work just goes away, and you're focusing on just actually figuring out, okay, well, you know, conceptually, how do I solve this particular problem? You know, what kind of algorithm would make sense? What kind of, you know, actual user interface test do I want to perform? But it also manages to do that without massively bloating up the site with just huge, huge amounts of, you know, oh, in case you need this, we have a widget for X and a widget for Y. It's very focused on that stuff that is just massively mind-numbing to write over and over and over, and eliminating that. That's what I really love about it.
Yeah, and I just want to add my two cents here as well. It's really great to see Drupal and jQuery come together. I was really happy to see that happen, because I think jQuery is to JavaScript what Drupal is to CMSs. I mean, we have the same end goal with jQuery. You know, it's to make JavaScript fun. It's to eliminate all of that work on dealing with CRUD functions and cross-browser compatibility. And, you know, it's putting the fun back in JavaScript. I don't know if that's trademarked yet or not. you know, Drupal tries to do the same thing, right, in its domain. It tries to get the developer away from doing all that crufty stuff that you have to do just to get a module or a functionality up and running, and say, okay, go off and build the fun things. Do the things you want to do, and, you know, Drupal will take care of the rest. And so that alignment is just stellar, to have both those philosophies embedded in one system together.
And putting the fun back in content management. That's
putting the fungus back in. So yeah, I mean, so that I think that, I mean, basically, it can't be underestimated, this sort of cross browser issue of things. I mean, for anyone that's done any CSS work, you know how frustrating cross-browser stuff can be. And then JavaScript is just that much more complicated, that much more compounded. And, you know, you spend all this time and you get it working in Firefox, and then you go over to Internet Explorer and, you know, and you don't, it, oftentimes it's like you've wired all this stuff together and you don't even know where to start, you know, to fix it. And I mean, and jQuery solves that in several ways. One is, it makes the JavaScript that you write is super clean. You can do a whole lot in just one line of code, and it's very readable and understandable. And then also, you know, it, by writing it in that way, you also are using the jQuery methods to make it work cross browser, which is, it feels very, very empowering and liberating. I wrote all the JavaScript for the new theme developer module for Drupal 6, which is part of the Devel module. And I think I mentioned that on the last podcast. And since then, actually, Moshe Weitzman has made a video for it and put it up, and it went on the homepage of Drupal.org. And people should go check that out. It's a pretty cool thing. And the interface for it is just, it's really, I don't know, it feels very cool. I don't know. And it was just really empowering to be able to do that, and use all the jQuery stuff. Yeah, I really wouldn't have been able to do it without jQuery. So first of all, we, with the new version of Drupal 6, we're getting a new version of jQuery. How it works, with Drupal, each version, well, we don't have much for external, like, you know, things that are maintained in other places. Basically, jQuery is the only sort of outside project that's included with Drupal core. And so the way that we've done it with Drupal is, we sort of keep to the version of jQuery that was the one. It kind of gets frozen in time. So with Drupal 5, we have jQuery 1.0.4 as the jQuery that's in core. And apparently now, jQuery, with Drupal 6, if things line up the way that they look to, what are we looking at, John? 1.2.3, is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
And so how many versions of jQuery have we missed?
This is going to be number 10.
Wow. So there have been 10 iterations of jQuery in the meantime. So for people, what do we get with the new version of jQuery that's coming into Drupal 6?
Well, there's obviously going to be a lot of things. We've had two major releases since 1.04, so jQuery 1.1, jQuery 1.2. I think the most significant thing that people will notice is the increase in speed. In comparison, in comparison to 1.04, I mean, you're probably looking of speed improvements in, you know, the thousands of percent. I mean, it's gonna be pretty ridiculous. So you'll have that to look forward to, which will be really nice. Additionally, you know, we have a whole slew of new functionality. I don't know, like color animations and cross-domain AJAX, and then we have a whole bunch of things associated with jQuery itself. Like we have books on jQuery now. We have a new project called jQuery UI, which is this whole framework for building complex user interfaces.
Is that is that what used to be called Interface?
Okay, so we used to have a plugin called Interface, which encapsulated a lot of this functionality. But we decided that we wanted to try it again from the ground up. So that's what we did. We built a team. We wrote it from scratch. And we had the first release back in, I think it was October. And we're coming up here with the second release of jQuery UI here, I think in February. So the, what's especially nice is that this requires, this library requires jQuery 1.2. So now with Drupal 6, you'll be guaranteed or to be able to use it. So I think people will really enjoy that.
And so it's like drag and drop stuff, and what are the other kinds of things that the UI does?
Yeah, you know, drag and drop and sortables and advanced animations and tabs and calendars and tables. I mean, just the stuff that you would expect out of a rich user interface. Dynamic and just elegant. So yeah, I mean, the whole thing is themed. And so we have one theme now. We're hoping to have some more here for our next release. It's really shaping up quite well.
Cool. Yeah. And so we there's been some contortions, some of which I've been involved in upgrading or updating the Drupal core jQuery to these later versions because. For instance, the interface library had all these great drag and drop kinds of things that now have sort of morphed into the jQuery UI plugin. But it wouldn't work. It didn't work. Even interface didn't work with 1.0.4, which was what we had in Drupal core. And so I wrote a module called jQuery Update that used a plugin, I think that you wrote, John, that was sort of written to kind of make, I don't know, jQuery 1.1 work with jQuery stuff that was written for 1.0. And it worked with some things kind of. There was also just some of the way that stuff was written in Drupal core. It provided a way, but I think it really could only, Nate, you actually know a little bit more about this than I do, but it really could kind of only get you up to 1.1. It couldn't really get you to 1.2 because the core stuff in Drupal, you're basically sort of, as you were upgrading the Drupal, you were breaking all of the built-in core stuff. Whereas the module was written to be just sort of a drop-in kind of replacement thing, all of a sudden it started requiring that it would actually rewrite all of the stuff like the collapsible field sets in Drupal core and the upload module, sort of Ajax-y kinds of stuff that does when you upload files and stuff like that. It just sort of kind of unraveled to become something that was really not what it was expecting to be. So for people who are using the jQuery update module, that's sort of, it can basically kind of get you to a point where you can use some of the libraries that are out there. But for instance, I don't foresee being able to use jQuery UI with, especially jQuery UI 2, with Drupal 5. I mean, especially, you know, if it's requiring 1.2, right. Work.
The catch is that basically, in order to update to jQuery 1.2, there is no such like compatibility library like John made for 1.1 to 1.0. The jump from 1.2 back to 1.0 is just probably too big to even make any kind of compatibility library like that. What we're looking at instead, if you were actually wanting to update to jQuery 1.2. You're looking at basically replacing all of the JavaScript files in all of core because they're written in such a way that they're expecting a certain syntax from jQuery 1.0 that is changed up to 1.2. So if you drop in 1.2 jQuery into Drupal core and just leave everything else as is, you'll find things breaking like upload module and collapsible field sets. Probably autocomplete, some other things that really aren't going to be pretty. Fortunately, in Drupal 6, we have the ability to access template variables from module files. And so jQuery Update, which right now is kind of horrible, when you download it, it tells you take the jQuery.js file and replace the one in core. Generally, not a good practice. In Drupal 6, jQuery update will have the ability to actually replace all JavaScript files with copies that are contained in the module. So we could actually provide jQuery update where you can toggle between any version of jQuery you wanted, and if necessary, it would replace not only the jQuery.js file that's being used, but also all of the other core JavaScript files that are being used. And so a big bonus there for Drupal 6. People might not think about JavaScript being what is going to push people from Drupal 5 to Drupal 6, but with the increasing dependency on jQuery UI, which I think is very likely, JavaScript might actually be the thing that pushes people to Drupal 6.
Cool. What is live query was going to be my question, but it looks like it's disappeared from the list.
So there's one plugin that we ended up working on here. And I don't remember when exactly we released it. I think it was pretty much to coincide with 1.2. But the idea is that, so jQuery uses CSS selectors to manipulate a page. So you can do, you can write, div and dot hide, and it'll hide all the divs on the page. But what live query does is it makes these selectors behave more like regular CSS, such that if at any point you add in a new div onto the page, that div will automatically be hidden. Or if you want to, ever add in like a new LI element and you want to attach a new click handler to it, it'll automatically happen, even if it's coming from an AJAX request or if you're just building it custom or whatever. We watch for it and make sure that everything happens as it should. So it's actually really, really cool. That's something fun that you'll be able to try around now.
Is that a jQuery extension, or is it something that we're going to see in the next version of jQuery?
It's a plugin that you can use. We're thinking about including it. Right now we just want to get more people using it as a plugin, playing around with it, giving it a try. And since it is such a huge leap in functionality there, we want to make sure that it's rock solid. Since this is completely untested, no one's ever done something like this. And so once we're certain, it may come back into jQuery core there.
So from a, it's sort of like you're setting up prototype rules, like, You've been able to do this sort of thing for, you can come up with, I'm actually more familiar with it in Flash, where you can kind of set up, like, whenever you create this type of an element, it's the prototype element already has these properties. But you're setting that up so that it's like, wow, cool, future stuff. It's one of those things that it's like about 3 months from now, I'll go, oh! I get it. I understand why it's so cool.
It just makes it behave more like CSS, and that if you have a div and you color it red, right, and then you insert a new div in later, you don't have to like say, oh, reapply all CSS now. It just happens.
Right.
So that's the change. It's that it just happened.
Convenience thing. It's one of those things that it'll just happen, and people who come in later and don't remember from before, we'll just totally take it for granted.
Yep.
They won't appreciate all of the hard work that went into it.
They've had to walk uphill both ways.
Exactly. we should talk a little bit. We're talking about these plugins for jQuery, and I think a lot of people are going to sort of wonder, like, okay, how do I benefit from jQuery plugins in Drupal? Maybe Nate or Matt, or one of you guys could talk about, like, how would you benefit from jQuery plugins? What would be the best way to kind of like add them in Drupal, and how are people likely going to use those?
Nate, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at it. There are generally two ways to go about using JavaScript libraries that are out there. And the first way, and the way that probably most of us started, was implementing it in the theme layer. Basically taking those JavaScript libraries, and when you were using them in your presentation, you would do a Drupal add JS and add that library to the page for your theme. And then you would basically hand code all of the JavaScript necessary in your theme to actually implement whatever the library did. An example of that is JCarousel. I started using JCarousel. It's a program that makes it so you have a, say, like a set of four thumbnails and then a next and previous arrow, and you click next and then they slide over and the next four thumbnails show up. Initially, I did that in the theme layer because, well, for one, there wasn't a Drupal module yet. And so all that the coding sort of I had to do by hand. Now, sort of the newer way, which I didn't see a lot of benefit in initially, but now it's becoming very clear why or what sort of benefits you can get. Wim Lears has written the JCarousel module and a companion module for it, JCarousel Panels, or panel, maybe, singular. But anyway, they're now being merged together, as I understand it. But what it does is the JCarousel module adds the JavaScript to the page, and then with the panels integration, you can actually take any view that you have of images and then turn that into a JCarousel inside of panels. I mean, it's crazy because you don't have to write any JavaScript. Basically, it's taking all the pieces and putting them together for you in really easy-to-use ways. So that's what I'm sort of recommending now. Previously, I would be hand-coding it into the theme. But now, with views integration and panels integration, these jQuery like wrapper modules that basically take a jQuery extension and then wrap stuff around them are getting all kinds of neat integration features that make it so that they work easily with other parts of Drupal.
I think some of these plugin modules will end up sort of like an API or just sort of a dependency module, right? Because if you've got, for instance, several different modules that are all wanting to output their information in and benefit from like the jQuery UI stuff, some maybe drag and drop elements or that kind of thing, it makes more sense. You know, it doesn't make sense for all of them to add the jQuery UI, you know, the jQuery UI library over and over and over again, especially because they'll actually include separate files and it'll end up bloating your page to just, you know, rewrite the same functions over and over again. So it makes more sense to have like a separate jQuery UI module that basically all it does is has a function like add jQuery UI and it'll right. add the library and it's all in one central place to have them depend on it.
Like that now sort of becoming defunct due to jQuery UI, the jQuery interface module that right. you wrote.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that was sort of the concept behind it, at least. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of cool. I guess we're going to see it more as like a kind of utility kind of a thing. Whereas if people wanted to do it more at the theming layer, they could certainly do that there as well. So it could happen at the modules layer where it would be a module that you turn on and it just adds it or a module that you turn on and it has a function that it could be added or you can do it at the theming layer as well. Kind of sort of bridges that wall, doesn't it? And so in Drupal 6, we've also got a whole bunch of new JavaScript stuff. I mean, we talked about the stuff in Drupal 5. We particularly talked about it, how it broke when you upgraded jQuery. But with Drupal 6, we've got a whole bunch of new stuff to break.
a lot of new stuff.
We got a new stuff. And we should say with the way that the new theme system works, it won't necessarily need to break because you can actually go in there and kind of manipulate stuff before it outputs. So let's talk about some of the new stuff. I mean, one of the big ones is that we've got a new JavaScript compression scheme. In the same way in Drupal 5, we had CSS compression so that it would basically concatenate all of the CSS files and remove all the commenting and basically make it all one line and take out all the spaces and all this kind of stuff. Really reduce the overhead of having so many CSS files as Drupal is often want to do if you don't have CSS compression turned on. Now that same kind of thing is happening with JavaScript in Drupal 6. Do we know how that works? I haven't looked into that too much. I know that there are some methods out there. John, you guys are using what's his name? I want to call him Bobby Fischer. Who's the JavaScript compression guy?
Oh, the Dean Edwards?
Dean Edwards. Why do I want to call him Bobby Fischer? Dean Edwards. Dean Edwards compression stuff. But are we using that in Drupal? In Drupal? Does anyone know?
Yeah, we're using an older version of it. I think the Packer script is up to version 3 now. But the last PHP port of it was 1 point something. And that's what was ported into Drupal. It was actually, like, the compressor was actually written for Drupal 5. Drupal 5 has got some sort of placeholder bits in there. Like, you'll see, like, if you do a Drupal add JS, there's a flag for compress, but it doesn't do anything because the compressor never got in. So the compressor was actually written for Drupal 5, and it never was changed. Well, not too much before it got into Drupal 6. And so we are using Dean Edwards Packer, but an older version of it.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, in the same way as you can oftentimes have CSS files that work just fine as separate files, but when you concatenate them, there's some bug or something that ends up breaking all your CSS. I guess I've heard some reports of that same kind of thing happening with some JavaScript, especially because JavaScript has a whole bunch of different syntax capabilities. Like, you don't, for instance, if you don't put a semicolon at the end of a line, JavaScript will assume that a line break is a semicolon, you know, the same thing. And so hopefully our compressor's taking care of understanding all of that and like that. But I haven't tested it, but this could be a bug. Could be a bug to hold up Drupal 6. If you're looking for bugs, check it out. If you find a bug, report it. I think that there's actually an issue queue where people have been talking about this, and I assume that people smarter than me are taking care of this thing. What are some other cool JavaScript stuff that we have to look forward to in Drupal 6?
Well, I think the thing that people probably noticed right off the bat, Drupal 6 now has drag and drop ordering of elements. And it used to be anywhere where there was a weight value, the blocks page will probably be the first thing people run up against. Anywhere there is the word weight, it is now either removed or hidden or put in an obscure location. Because we're trying really hard to get rid of it, because the word weight is just a really confusing concept for new people. Negative weight means lighter, and positive weight means heavier, so it sinks down instead of floating up. The whole concept, I mean, you get it, but you have to read it 3 or 4 times the first time, and right. It's like, oh,
this
okay.
Is weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, by the way.
Right. Not waiting as I'm in the line. Right.
We have not eliminated waiting.
There's always that thought process of, like, I want this to be most important, so rate it from 1 to 10. So 10 would be the most important, so I want that to be at the top, but that's actually at the bottom because it's the heaviest. This is the weight of it. But yeah, it's certainly a Drupalism, and it would be nice to have less Drupalisms in Drupal.
Right, and so now it's so much easier. There's a file called tabledrag.js, which isn't built on jQuery UI, mostly because they were almost built at the same time. jQuery UI is still really a new project. And so tabledrag.js looks for columns in tables that contain, well, there's a function that you can use to tell Drupal what columns contain weight fields. And then TableJar.js goes through and it looks for that column in the table, hides that column entirely, and then adds a handle on the left side of the table that as you drag that handle up and down, it moves the table rows. And in the background, what it's doing is it's actually adjusting those weight fields. And so the weight fields are still there. They're just not displayed to the end user. Instead, now there's just a little handle, and you drag it up and down, and it'll adjust all the weights for you.
Sexy.
And to take it one step further, it also supports parenting relationships. So you can tell Drupal through this Drupal add table drag function, you can say, okay, this column it contains weights, and I want you to sort them. And then this column over here contains parent relationships. And then TableDrag.js takes a step further. Instead of just being able to drag up and down, you can now drag left and right also. So to make an element a child of something, you just have to drag it underneath the parent and then drag it over one. And TableDrag.js will find the parent value of the row above it and set the parent value also.
Wow. And so this is just a library that's part of Drupal now, in Drupal 6. Could people build things like outliners with this? And
oh, yeah. Outliners. Let me talk about places that this has been implemented. Book module, which is basically outline, now supports drag and drop. So you can rearrange an entire book just by dragging the pages around.
Oh, really?
Taxonomy terms. If you want to sort your terms or make a hierarchy of things, all drag and drop. Menu, like I said, blocks, filter orders, language orders, and that's all just in core. Anywhere you saw the word weight or parent, pretty much there's drag and drop now.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so great to see that. I know that there's been a lot of momentum behind that for a while now in the community, and it's the whole talk is silver, code is gold thing. So I know you had a lot to do with that, Nate, and the community loves you for it.
Well, we do if they don't.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Because I've heard some people say some things. So.
Yeah, it was the sort of thing where everybody always said drag and drop would be the best for this. Like views, the way that views work, and it has those little arrows that go up and down. You can jump something to the top or jump up one row. And then Node Queue, sort of a companion module that Earl wrote that has the same interface, added JavaScript to that. But the entire time, everybody was always saying, wow, drag and drop would be the best for this. But, of course, nobody wants to undertake drag and drop, especially drag and drop when dealing with table rows.
It was always about backwards compatibility. I mean, we didn't want to make it, you know, no longer work on your mobile phone or whatever, you know. And so that was always the hurdle, was like, okay, how can you do drag and drop in a way that's still backwards compatible? Because oftentimes it's done in a not backwards compatible kind of way.
Right.
And this is.
Yeah, it's all just hiding the current mechanisms that we have. And so it actually didn't change anything from the database level or even the HTML level. It just changed it just on the JavaScript level.
So, John, is there a lot of stuff that people are doing with like jQuery UI and stuff like that? Does it tend to be, I don't know, standards compliant or accessible and all that kind of stuff? Or do people tend to just sort of say, well, we've got this rich interface and, you know, you need to have Firefox and you need to be able to see, for instance?
Well, I mean, like, you know, obviously a really big thing for us is accessibility and making sure that it's going to be usable. Especially in situations, you know, mobile or, you know, in cases where a user doesn't have JavaScript. So what we're trying to do is make sure that everything, you know, gracefully degrades back to a point where it's still usable. We've been doing a lot with this, but, I mean, with jQuery UI especially, you know, that's been a big concern overriding throughout. And additionally, looking at accessibility, we're starting work now at implementing some of the new, it's called the ARIA specification, made by the W3C, for making accessible components in HTML. So that's something that we've been working on, so that these components that we're building will be more accessible in screen readers. It's a huge concern for us, and I think we're doing a pretty good job here.
Cool, yeah. I mean, because that's some of the sort of behind-the-scenes stuff, because, I don't know, it's the same thing with, you know, I mean, Flash has been around for a long time, and a lot of people jump towards that because they think, well, you know, it's flashy. I mean, it's particularly, I don't know, you know, media sites or whatever that need to kind of make people's eyes pop will hop towards that stuff. But in some circles, it's seen as cheating. And certainly with Drupal and Drupal Core, we've, you know, tried to do things the right way, if you will. And so it's been sort of harder to get those kind of gains. So, I mean, the fact that we've got drag and drop now in Core and in the way that it's working, I think is really nothing to be underestimated. So pretty cool stuff. Nate, did you want to talk about some of the other stuff we've got going now?
I'll mention real briefly. It's not so exciting as drag and drop or as visible.
Well, nothing is. I mean, really.
But developer improvement is there's now the AHA framework, HH framework, which I think we've mentioned a little bit in previous podcasts. But basically what it does is it allows PHP developers to write forms that update on certain events using JavaScript. It's sort of like an AJAX request. And so as you change form elements, the form will make background requests in the browser and update the form as you go along. And it's something that is all done through the form API just by using a new property called #ahh. And so you can say #ahh equals, and then it's an array, and you want to say the event, say this is on a select list, the event is change, and you say path is equal to some Drupal path. That's where jQuery is going to make a background request to that URL, and then you'll say the target, and whatever is returned back from that URL, it will then be inserted into that target wrapper. And so basically what it's allowing Drupal developers to do is write dynamic forms without any JavaScript whatsoever. It's all just PHP flags. And then the AHA framework will go and it'll do all the JavaScript for you and all of the AJAX requests and all of the inserting it into the DOM for you. And all you have to do is write the form as you normally would from the Forms API.
That's cool. I think we're going to start seeing people using that stuff. I mean, it seems like the conventions that we've had in Drupal have oftentimes been overused just because there were, you know, so few of them, these sort of user interface conventions, collapsing field sets, autocomplete and stuff like that. We see it in a lot of places. Sometimes maybe where there would be others, you know, if you were to do it from scratch, there might be other solutions. But it's such an easy gain for
right.
the developer that it's like, I'll put it in a collapsing field set, and then it's not overtaking the page, and it's something there, you know, and stuff. But it's nice to see that there's going to be more of those kind of sort of UI conventions moving forward. So that could be really, really cool. I'm really excited about. Yeah, just the modules for Drupal 6 and what they can do and writing them and updating my modules and stuff like that.
one of the examples of when using like autocomplete was suboptimal, but people did it anyway because it was there. When Chix took a look at the AHA framework for the first time, he immediately got really excited because he rewrote the menu system, and the menu system now scales to a ginormous size. And But the problem is that we've got these drop-down selects when you're editing menu items that say what the parent is, or when you're editing a book, what the parent is, that, you know, the select list contain hundreds or thousands of items if you've got a really big menu or a really big book. And that's a scenario where traditionally what we would do, we're like, oh, the list is big. We better make it autocomplete. but that's not really that helpful for something where you don't know the name of where you're wanting to put something. And so Chicks wrote a patch for Core that didn't get in, but I imagine we'll see as a contrib module very, very soon, that makes a drill down selector, kind of like an iTunes style browsing, where you select the top category and then it makes an AHA request, and then it pulls back all the items under that category. You click on the next category, it goes and it pulls in the next set of items under there. And that's the sort of thing where it's like the compromise between the giant select list and the autocomplete, where there's very low overhead on the initial page load, but you still get the ability to browse the entire tree.
Very cool. Chicks, incidentally, CHX, also known as Karoli Nagisi, whose name we do not pronounce correctly. But yeah, that's CHX, as you'll see him on Drupal.org and omnipresent in the IRC channel. Cool. And we've also got these teaser splitters now, which I'm, there's just little things. I mean, it's silly to get excited about, but I guess we do. But in the past, I guess way back in time, it used to be that that there was separate fields on the form, on your node creation form, for the teaser and for the body of a node. And then someone came up with this idea of basically simplifying it by having a single field and putting in HTML, specially formatted HTML comment that just says break. And that would be where you would split. So basically you would have, you know, your beginning of paragraph, and then you put in the break tag and then the following paragraphs. But of course, the problem with that was it implied that your teaser would always be the first paragraph or the first few paragraphs of your node, of your content, of your story, of your, post,
whatever it is.
and that also, I mean, especially for people who are coming from, I don't know, like I came from movable type, and there was a different convention there, and it was really frustrating that I couldn't actually write a synopsis. There is a module for Drupal 5 called excerpt module that allows you to, again, break them back off into two fields again. But in Drupal 6, we now get this new little button above the body field that say basically, what does it say? Break at cursor or something like that. So you type your whole thing and you can, just hit the button and it will actually split the post into two separate text areas. And there's also a button to check off whether, a checkbox to check off whether the, beginning stuff, whether the teaser is part of your body or not. And so you get kind of the best of all the worlds, and you can kind of choose it on the fly, and it's really cool. Yet more JavaScript cool stuff from Stephen Wittens, wrote that. So yeah, well, we're going on an hour here. So John, what's like on the horizon for jQuery? What stuff are we going to be missing by freezing our Drupal at 1.2.3 or
3?
Yeah. I guess I think, am I incorrect? Was 1.0.4 the highest 1.0 that there was?
That's right. Yes.
Okay, so that implies that we can upgrade Drupal to 1.2.4 and 1.2.5 as you know, Drupal 6.1, 6.2 come out. Right. We can catch up that far. But sort of what do you see on the horizon for the jQuery universe?
Well, I guess what we happen to know is that, well, we don't have a 1.3 plant at the moment.
Good. That's great. Just stay at 1.2. We'll be great.
So, I mean, at this point, we're just looking at getting faster, getting more bug fixes in, just more stable, quietly iterating. And then we're going to be putting a lot more effort into jQuery UI. We have the jQuery UI lead was recently just hired, and he's now working in jQuery UI full-time. So we're going to be seeing a lot more effort in that department, which should be fine because that is generally decoupled from the actual jQuery and Drupal part. That's where we're putting a lot of effort right now, putting a lot of effort into plugin development, into the jQuery website, into jQuery books, and the whole ecosystem that exists around it. So I guess that's what you can be looking for. We have another book coming out really soon here, like within the next couple weeks, by Manning Publishing, called jQuery in Action. And that's going to be a really good book. I think people will really enjoy that one. And there's already Learning jQuery that's out. That's by Pact Publishing. That's another great book.
Co-written by Jonathan Chaffer, who's been on the podcast. Pact Podcast episode 8 or something like that. It was a long time ago. But yeah. And that's a good book. There's a whole bunch. I'm just looking through Amazon here, all these jQuery books. There's a whole bunch of them. Awesome. Cool. Well, let's just wrap it on up. John, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I apologize to people who are listening for some of the audio problems we've had, but, listen closely,
the information. Well, thanks for having me.
There. And hopefully we'll get you down to DrupalCon. You got to get on the tee and follow it out. I don't know. I'll come pick you up. We'll go. It'll be a whole thing.
I'll find some way to make it across the river.
We'll get you like a big, like one of those king's capes and a crown and stuff, and you can walk in. jQuery, like just a big entrance. And that's how I see it, at least. I don't know. Because I certainly, that's how it is for Dries when he enters the room at DrupalCon. Or it will be after I get him a crown and a... Anyways, all right, cool. Well, thanks a lot, and we'll see y'all later on the next podcast. I don't know. We don't know what it will be about yet, but it will be. I can tell you this: it will be episode 54. So there you go.
That much is certain.
That much is certain. All right, take care, everybody. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye guys.